Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Wednesday and time for a little bit of Wednesday wisdom. I am Deborah Leanne and I am glad you found me here. This topic has been, I don't know if it's in our culture so much because of growing up with Disney princesses or all the fairy tales we've been read all of our lives, but I am really wondering what we can do with this concept of waiting to be saved. And there's lots of different pieces to this, but it falls into the masculine energy that we're exploring this month of June, and the inner and outer masculine energy, right? Because we all have both feminine and masculine. We have the intuitive and intellect, the physical and spiritual parts of ourselves. So we are both. And we still very often sit back and want someone else to do the hard stuff for us, want us to fix us, want us to teach us, guide us, protect us, save us, so that we can get to where we want to go, so we can have a prettier, cleaner, less messy life, so that our business will run more smoothly. Because, you know, it's just that next training or that next book or that next degree or certification that will, of course, fix us and allow us to, you know, really drop into our potential, right? I'm here to suggest that maybe that's not true. And before we dive in, I do this practice more probably for me than for you, but I'd like us to get present and allow ourselves the opportunity to just land here in this moment, appreciating what it feels like to feel our feet firmly planted, to allow our breathing to slow down, be deeper, longer pauses between the inner and outer breath, allowing the sense of being held and supported to be there, gravity pulling our feet down heavily and feeling our sits bones attached and held by the chair that we're sitting in. And if you can, if you're in a space that you can do so, I would strongly suggest that you close your eyes. It allows you to deepen into the process of being in this moment, because there's a little bit less distraction when you can't see it. A lot less distraction, right? And listen to what's around you. Do you hear an air conditioner humming? Do you hear maybe the faint background music behind me? There's birds I can hear singing outside. There's the rush of traffic a few blocks away from me. And just allow your body to slow down and catch up with itself. Excuse me. So what we're going to do is just allow your breath to deepen, to feel your belly expand on those big, deep breaths, and call back your attention from all the places that are wanting to distract you, to pull your mind away. Let it all know that you'll be there. You'll be back to your to-do list and your phone and computer and whatever else is waiting for you in the next 20 minutes or so. And allow the energy system that comes up through our feet and our grounding, those grounding cords that go down, down, down into the deep core of the planet, to pull our energy down and back, feeling our spine, our skeletal system holding us upright, allowing our length of our neck to just elongate, pulling our head straight up so that we can also attach to the golden cords of our divine, whether it be our higher self, our the love, the universe, the higher source and power that you call, whatever you call yours. Connecting that in and letting it charge us as well. And we don't need to supervise it. Just connect in, be aware of it, and let it just fill you. So energy coming up through our feet, down through the crown of our head, and letting that find its natural pooling place where it collects in our pelvic bowl, that creative power center that is so powerful for us. When mine comes together, I can viscerally feel the sparks, the activation that happens there. And this is when I typically move my hips a little bit side to side just to keep that energy moving. And now that we're here and present, if you would like to keep your eyes closed and dive in with me, that would be great. But it's nice to monotask, you know. And in our days of hyper-efficiency and trying to do 12 things at once, I would strongly suggest that you just allow yourself to run on this one program only right now. Let's talk about masculine energy. Let's talk about what we have felt it to be. And I'll begin with saying that I have always been kind of envious of the women I knew that grew up with a strong relationship with their father. These women that felt empowered because their father saw them, believed in them, loved them, told them they could do anything. The fathers that gave them that attention from the masculine that allows us to bloom. That many of us who didn't have that relationship with our fathers went on to look for elsewhere and might still be looking for it, whether it's through our bosses, our brothers, the men that we mate with, our sons. Some people, even with their God, there's a waiting for recognition, a waiting for, I don't mean to trivialize this, but I think about it like if something goes wrong, right? I have this leaking thing that's happened a couple times in the from one of the upstairs water sources, one of the two bathrooms or the laundry or whatever's up there that has been pooling and collecting. It's a slow leak. It hasn't come through the ceiling yet, but I can see the water damage there. I've already had it repaired once, and that took a few phone calls to two or three different people to get happening, to make it happen. And, of course, I call men, you know. I call the men to ask them to diagnose it, even if I may even know what's causing it. I ask them to fix it. I ask them to take care of me. And I realized that even in my days of being a career woman where I was single back in my 20s and 30s, I still needed men to see me as a potential mate. Even though I knew I could take care of myself and I knew that I was really good at what I did, and I actually had mostly female bosses and colleagues, there is something about being noticed and being thought of as attractive or to be liked on that first date and to be asked again to go on another, to be seen as worthy in their eyes, that I waited actually, and I mean that by wait, W-E-I-G-H-T, I waited that more important than some of my other brilliance. If that guy didn't call and ask me for another date, I took it personally like something was wrong with me. And I'm pretty amazing and pretty smart and really good at many, many things. But when it came to relating to men, I really didn't have a good clue. And I really did, on some level, believe that I was going to have this knight in shining armor ride up and swoop me up, throw me onto the back of his horse, and save me from this life, save me from myself, save me from where I had gotten stuck, and fix it and drive off into the sunset and be happily ever after in this whatever la-la land. And the more I talk about this with other women, especially single women, we feel it more because we don't have that man, that male, masculine presence outside of us. Often we feel like we are broken, right? Like we don't have this thing. There's still this to-do list that at the top is find a partner. We may not admit that, but we feel like once we get that checked off the list, then we can focus on so many other things. You know, or once I have, and we can change it. We can change it to money. Once I have enough money, then this will be fixed in my life. We can also use time. Once I have enough time, then I can truly live with freedom, sovereignty, joy, whatever. But we use these, and they all tend to be somewhat masculine in their nature. Time, money, love from that masculine. We don't count how many girlfriends we have. We count, do we have a man in our life, or a partner, a love partner. And excuse me if you're someone who needs a, or would love to have a woman partner, there's still this outside of us piece that we want fixed, that we think if having that other person in our life will make us whole. And we know it's not true. We know that we're whole intellectually. But a part of us feels that there's something not right if we are not in a relationship. Couplehood feels like it's the safe place to be. And especially with our businesses, if we're entrepreneurs, we are so in our masculine, we fix things all the time. We solve problems. That's what we do. That's why we have a business. And that masculine tries to fix us very often. It's really super helpful when it's coming to what's the tech issue? Why is my internet running slowly? What's going on with my computer? How can I make this email marketing campaign work more strategically? Yep, those are all good things. And when it comes to trying to fix what's broken inside of us or what we perceive as broken, because that's what the masculine engineering fix-it part of us wants to do. It wants to go in, diagnose, come up with an answer, fix it, and then move on. And I'm wondering, I'm trying on this new thing of, what if it doesn't have to look like that? What if we can so love where we are in our messiness? This is hard for me. I used to be such a neatnik. My home was clean. My kitchen was always cleaned up every day after every meal. My entryway especially. My entryway, my bathroom, and my bedroom were always pretty meticulous. I always had a junky room and a junky drawer in the kitchen. But for the most part, I had, when you walked in, the space felt serene. There weren't things, like right now I'm looking at my steps, and the stuff piled up on my steps. And I'm wondering, what part of me is inside there judging, saying, put that all away. Take that box of Goodwill out of the front entry hall and take it to Goodwill. Get it done, sister. Go do it. When are you going to plant that last herb that's still sitting in a pot on the kitchen counter? You know, there's when. When are you going to do this? How are you going to get it done? How are you going to make more money? You know, all of these pieces of trying to solve our own problems. And if we're not doing it internally, we're sure as shooting asking for somebody else to fix it because we want to blame somebody. So we're either doing our inner blame or we're blaming on, oh, it's the economy. One of the favorite things I hear from women and coaches, especially in St. Louis, is it's the St. Louis market. These people here are so different. It's hard to break in if you're not from the area, or it's you got to know somebody, or they don't have the money to pay for high-end coaching, or whatever. We have all this blame game where we want to not take responsibility and put it outside of us. Early in my personal and professional development career, I'm so blessed to have had so much training in all my jobs. One of the things I learned was about personal responsibility. And Disney did a beautiful training around that for their customer service people. And what it is it's taking responsibility for any situation that you're experiencing without blaming anybody else. And so what we were to do is we had to think of what was a situation that recently got us super triggered, what annoyed us, who was this person, bring it up, feel it in our body, and kind of relive it, and then we would tell that story to a partner. And you could hear the room energized and animated and everybody getting, this is going on, and this person cut me off in traffic on the way here, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's a good one. I'll actually use that example. And what idiots everybody was on the road, and that's what caused me to almost be late and da-da-da-da-da. So when we looked at, is it those people that are ruining our day and giving those outside people, those drivers of those cars, the way the stoplights were programmed to turn red, all of that, all of those outside circumstances, are they really responsible? Are they the ones that hold your power? I'm saying no. You may be giving them your power, but they don't hold it. So let's call your power back and go in and find out what is it that on the way here to work this morning, what could have been different that would have changed that experience? Wow, all kinds of different things came up. What if I was listening to some great music on the radio and I didn't, you know, just driving and allowing people to, you know, if they needed to get in front of me because they were in a hurry, fabulous. But I was in joy, right? Or what if I left 5 minutes earlier and didn't allow just enough time to get to the place I needed to get to, but plenty of time to get there, to park, and to be there to walk in on time? What if, what was in the way of maybe keeping me from leaving the house this morning organized and feeling on top of my game? That's called personal responsibility. That's called owning all of your power. And it falls into not blaming. It falls into owning. I'm responsible for what happened this morning. I mean, you're not responsible if somebody has a car accident, but you are responsible for how you react to that car accident that may make you late. And most people have cell phones now. So if you need to make a quick phone call and say, I just saw an accident, I'm going to have to hang out and I would like to, you know, put my name in as a witness, and are we okay to reschedule or can I show up in a little bit? You know, there's lots of ways to own the experience and hold our power within us. Not looking outside, not giving away and leaking our power to someone else or to the situation, but when we hold it all within us, everything feels so different because we can control this. You know, We breathe ourselves back into ourselves, bringing all of that energy that's way out in front of us and all scattered around, pulling it all back in and owning it. There's no one else that left 15 minutes before they needed to be someplace knowing it was a 20-minute drive. Nobody else did that to us. And if we look at our morning, we can probably see where we didn't use our time as wisely as we could have, or we chose to not look at how much time would be a more comfortable time frame. Because there is this thing, yes, we have time as a measurement of how we, so that we can all come up with the same metric and live our lives in a way that makes the most sense. Because if my idea of 6 p.m. Central Time and your idea of 6 p.m. Central Time are two different ones, it would make life really messy and chaotic. It would be hard for us to come together in an agreed upon time. So time, money, outside resources, waiting for the other person to come and fix us, make our lives better, give us that final piece to the puzzle that we've been so looking for so that we can finally now deliver our content to the world. It may come and it may not come, but the point is to stop looking outside and waiting for that, like a train to come by, so that we can get on it and move. We need to start moving now. And we need to start sharing who we are now from this place. Because we're never going to be fixed. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to have it all down pat and tied up in a pretty bow so that we can, you know, be this full, amazing package. Really not the way life works. And the more that we allow life to be its dance, then we just move with it. Let's dance with it. And this looking outside, which women are so good to do, it's so hard sometimes to make decisions without running it by 12,000 people and saying, well, what do you think about this? Do you think I should go here or there? Meanwhile, the opportunity is getting cold and we miss out. I mean, it's not a bad idea to sometimes get an outside opinion. I'm not saying that. But when it comes down to, I've had four people tell me, no, don't do the thing on sexy leadership. Don't lead with that. That's not going to get you where you want to go. And you know what? I feel like that's what held me back from being chosen for the TEDx talk locally, because I went in with something really boring, something that was already out there about confidence and charisma and courage for women leaders, blah. But if I were to talk about embodied, true, leading with our life force, which is our sexual and sensual physicality, that is different. And again, I listened to everybody else's thoughts without following my own. I took it upon myself I take the blame for that. I mean, I realize I take responsibility. I'm not going to say the word blame. I'm not a big fan of that word. But I am responsible. And when I got the no, thank you, keep in touch, we'll talk to you next time we have an event thing from the TEDx team, I was really disappointed. And it wasn't as much that I wasn't as chosen as that I didn't follow my instinct, you know? It was watered down effort because I let other people distract me and pull me away from what I knew was the right thing to do. So I own that. And I've learned. And now I'm wondering, where am I going to go with this? This is something that's bigger than me, and I know it's time to deliver it. And there's people that want to hear it. and I want to live it more. I want to model it more. And I'm not going to hide it anymore. I'm not going to pretend like it's not there. That is who I am. So where are you stifling, holding back, following everybody else's opinions of what you need to be, their expectations of you, what you're being told is the next step for you, that you need to invest in this program? And I'm not saying don't invest, because let me tell you, accountability, masterminding, coaching, those are all brilliant opportunities. But what makes them brilliant is knowing and having the discernment of what is the right thing for you. Because continuing to add and add and add, I have boxes of folders of trainings upstairs that I've attended. Sometimes I've even taught them. And it's time for me to just throw them all away. I know what I need to know and stop playing the game of waiting for the right time, the right moment, the knight in shining armor to come up, riding up to my front walk. It's not about that. It's about moving forward now as I am, perfectly imperfect, and living and modeling and teaching from this space. Whew. It's kind of vulnerable, isn't it? And I just want to say thank you for being who you are, shining your light, being brave and courageous enough to build something that's bigger than you and to take it into the world. Because the sharing of it is a vulnerable piece, but that's what we're here to do. I believe that we create something like a child, and that child isn't ours anymore. It's the same with our businesses. We create them, and then they become bigger than us. And it's time to share them with the world, right? So whether it's your idea, your business, your book, your artwork, what are you here to teach and share with the world? Shine your light. Thank you for being you. And let's keep, as Elizabeth Gilbert says, onward. I also like the word somebody else uses, thrive. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.